Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Crosstalk is brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Fall thoroughbred racing is back at Hawthorne Racecourse with a newly remodeled rooftop deck for both sports betting and horse racing. Get in all the action with Hawthorne. I'm Jeff Meller, along with Connor McKnight, as we wrapped up the Cap and Jay Hood show, and now it is our opportunity to talk with Carmen and Yurko on Black Friday about a Bears victory over the Lions, gentlemen.
Bears. Yurko's got his Bears stuff on.
The Bears. Yeah, I wear the Bears stuff on. I've got no problem. They're one game out of a playoff spot, theoretically, going into the weekend.
In the hunt.
Right? Five victories get you into the playoffs right now. The Bears have played an 11th game.
Uh-huh.
In theory, you're right on the cusp of being in the playoffs. Two games that you lost that were very winnable games. They go against you. You had to lead in the fourth quarter. So I don't care what anybody says. This is a very average football team.
Oh, yeah.
Well, playing below average. Very average team that's playing below average.
Half
right
their
now.
Wins are against the Lions.
I know. I mean, 2 out of 4. Well, that's right. You know. And if they would have won the games against the AFC North, they'd have been pretty damn good against the AFC North this year, too, Carm.
Yeah.
They'd have been 3-1 instead of 1-3.
Well, I was making the case to Connor earlier in Shot or No Shot that I thought the Bears are actually a more viable playoff contender than the Saints right now. Because of all the injuries,
yeah,
the Saints are
done because of the injuries.
Yes.
I mean, you can't. I don't care how good of a coach you are, and we love Sean Payton. I mean, you can't.
No, you.
There's just
no
way. The Bears got their own version of injuries too, here, guys. Yeah, the Bears are better, but they've got their injuries that they suffer from. We saw Eddie Jackson come back. Congratulations. Still missing Hicks. You're still missing Khalil Mack. You're still missing Allen Robinson. Montgomery just got back from his injuries.
Roquan Smith left with a hamstring injury yesterday.
Roquan with a hammy after taking Swift out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
I don't think either are a viable playoff option.
Listen,
I guess
listen,
that's why
seven have to go, Carmen.
Seven have to go. Whether you like it or not, you got to name a seventh team to this thing and get. Guess what? That team is going to be either 8-9 or 9-8, and they're going to make the playoffs.
Minnesota.
That's the crazy part.
Minnesota's in the sixth spot right now.
Yeah, that's right. They're
it's
six.
The Niners
that's
and Eagles right now at 7-8 are in the 7-8 spot. So
yeah, the Niners are starting to play good football.
That's
sure,
right.
But they have a hellacious division. They have
they
to
do.
Continue.
Well,
to
that's true.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be hard.
They do have their destiny in their hands. They can beat Arizona. They can go ahead and beat L.A., the Rams, and the
well,
you know,
they beat
the
L.A. once.
What happened to Seattle?
Seattle's done.
Well, let's grant the Yurk premise here for a second. I mean, if the Bears aren't backing into a playoff and keeping Matt Nagy weeks away, are they? I mean, this isn't.
Oh, come on! Are we really?
No,
are we really talking about?
Yurk brought it up. Don't put this.
That's
don't
right.
put it on
I
me.
Brought it up. Well, let me tell you this. I'm going to offer up an apology to our listeners for the crap that we gave them last week. Then. Because whatever came out and whoever delivered it and whoever that guy was, he was wrong. He was dead wrong.
Well, some people think
the Bears made him wrong. The Bears made him wrong.
Some people think the Bears made him wrong.
Who's coaching today?
Matt Nagy
is the coach today.
He is.
That report was dead wrong.
It's 10:04. You guys could have to play a break.
Dead wrong.
No.
Connor, it was dead wrong.
No, but I think Connor's right. We're potentially right. The Bears could have made him wrong.
Yes.
Did you boys happen to hear Tyler Aki's conspiracy theory?
What is it?
The source of the inaccurate report could have been Matt Nagy. Knowing his only way to survive the Lions game on a short week. Was if he leaked the report that he had been told that he was being fired, that this was his last game, the Bears would be so embarrassed that they would have to allow him to coach out the season.
Wow, that's interesting.
I'd run with that source.
Hell of a conspiracy theory, huh?
That is a good one.
Not really.
No, it's kind of interesting.
Not really.
It's kind of interesting.
I poo-pooed that right off the bat.
Listen.
No good.
I'm just saying. M. Night Shyamalan wouldn't if it was posed to him.
Could the Bears have decided to kick the can down the road a couple weeks just because they didn't want to look silly because the report leaked?
Yes.
Which is sort of sad. Which is very sad. Like, if you're going to do it, do it.
I'm going to laugh when Matt Nagy survives this whole thing.
You think he's going to be back next year?
I am going to laugh when he survives this whole thing. And can you paint a scenario how he survives?
What do you mean
he
survives?
Like,
he goes 5-1 the rest of the way.
Good.
Listen.
He goes 5-1 the rest of the way. Guess what? He survives it all.
Mm. That ain't happening.
You can't, like, I can't believe we're doing this either. Like,
come on, it's silly. Running. I mean, they're 4-7. They barely beat the Lions. They talking about like they're going to go 5-1, and they're going to
No. You gave me a scenario. This is a real life scenario.
There's no way.
The real life scenario without the conspiracy theories is if he goes 5-1 the rest of the way, he stays his job.
Yeah, it ain't
happening. Now the odds of that happening, if you know we're going to go to ESPN numbers or PFF or whatever fancy actuary that we have out there, it's probably a 1% chance.
I'll tell you what. Listen, if they get through these next 2 weeks 1-1, I'll start
entertain
to,
it
because they have they host the Cardinals at home, who are coming off the bye week, who will probably have Kyler Murray back, and then they go to Green Bay on Sunday Night Football and play the Packers. So if they can get through this 2-game stretch 1-1, I will entertain the notion of going.
What's
5-1.
Kyler Murray's record in games that are under 32 degrees?
Throwing the old Buccaneers stat at me. I do not have that.
That is the old Buccaneers stat.
I know it is.
I mean, it was a Michael Vick stat for a while, too.
That's true.
He went up to Green Bay and won a game against Green Bay.
He won a playoff game, right?
Yeah.
I don't know Kyler Murray under 32 degrees stat.
They're a seven-point dog right now. The bigger stat might be Kyler and Cliff's struggles as a favorite, although they're starting to rectify a lot of that. Well, they haven't been as good at covering numbers or winning games when they're a favorite. They're a touchdown favorite right now for next
Sunday. Is Andy Dalton playing, though? I mean, are we starting?
Andy Dalton will be playing next week, yes.
Yeah, I think so, too, right?
Yeah, I think he is because these ribs don't take care of themselves in a week. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't take care of itself in 4 days. It won't take care of itself in 14 days.
You can't hop in a hyperbaric chamber and heal up the ribs.
The bones don't work that
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
Especially if you've got microfractures, which is what they said. Ooh. Microfractures.
Ooh. Yeah.
Did you guys catch Jay Glazer's pregame report?
I tried not to catch a lot of things that Jay Glazer does.
This was amusing to me because listen to the reaction as Jay Glazer paints it for you of how this whole week unfolded and what Matt Nagy was dealing with.
This report comes out and the Bears go to walkthrough. When they went to walkthrough, it just took on a life of its own. By the time they got back from walkthrough, and the Bears, they do things old school way. They think, well, something's not true. Why should we address it? Well, in this case, they should have addressed it because it took on a life of its own. Eventually, later that day, Matt Nagy, he went and addressed the players and coaches. But the way he did it, it was almost like in a solemn way. So even afterwards, he said it's not true. Players and coaches like, hey, Matt, it's been great. So it got to the point where the owner, George McCaskey, yesterday came into the team meeting, addressed the entire team, said, absolutely not true. He's not been informed that he's getting fired after this game. We're not saying Matt Nagy's not going to get fired at one point here, but they told the entire team that report unequivocally is not true.
How about that? The player's reaction was, Matt, it's been nice.
Good knowing you.
It's been a slice of pie.
It's been a hell of a run.
Now,
tremendous.
I work off the reality that this Bears offense still sucks.
Oh, my God.
I work off the reality that they've scored 16 points, right? And you beat the Detroit Lions. I'm working off of reality.
I hope so.
Understand what the hell the Bears are, okay? But at least I got a ray of sunshine going into this weekend against Arizona.
Do you really?
Yes, I do. That ray of sunshine is a chance to have a victory against Arizona at home. That's what I'm holding on to. Carm, if I'm drowning, right, my head's still above water and I can take a breath, I still haven't drowned yet.
That's true.
There's still a chance I can survive.
I love that the best case scenario, the best case drowning analogy we can draw is Mirko drowning.
Almost. Like almost. Just barely.
I just got to the top and there's a little breath of fresh air. I've got a chance.
Yurko's Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic. Right. Clinging to anything he can.
Can you believe that? She kicked him off that door. There's enough
room
for
that door.
She already had the
selfish. That's why he did. That's why the steel guy didn't marry her, because she was selfish.
She had the emerald. What did she need him for anymore?
Diamond. Emeralds are green, my friend. Diamonds can be blue.
I apologize. I forgot. I haven't watched Titanic.
The heart of the ocean.
Long
What's the matter with you?
Yeah, it's been 82 years.
Thank you.
Mellor is flummoxed right now because he said emerald.
Yurko's always the optimist. It's like I walked away from that game yesterday being like hanging my head in shame.
But can I tell you what?
I was rooting for him to miss. I wanted them to do the walk of shame out of Detroit.
I wasn't.
You, Carm, you were rooting for Santos.
I don't know that I was rooting for him to miss. That's
for
hard
me to root against the Bears.
But and I'm going to tell you what. I will say I just sat there going, I can't believe how awful the team is that I cheer for.
The 1996 Green Bay Packers were 4-7.
Oh, I remember.
We're 4-7.
Moving up to
We won five in a row. We did not win one of those games impressively.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of those was an impressive victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we did do, though? Found a way to win. That's it. That's all that mattered. We started stacking one, top of the other, on top of the other, on top of
the foundation.
It took a Morton Anderson, the best kicker in NFL history. It took a Morton Anderson missed, shanked, chip shot field goal for us to qualify for the playoffs. And what did we do once we got to the playoffs?
You won a playoff game.
Made some noise, dude.
Maybe 27.
Hey, 30-27 victory against the Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly's last game at Kent Hall. 30-27 victory against the Denver Broncos. And the next thing you know, we're on the doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
The doorstep of Super
Bowl. All wrong. Maybe we're looking at this and it's that, you know, the Bears finally benched Kendall Vildor and moved themselves into victory. They finally made the move they needed to make.
Because Artie Burns looks so much better.
Yeah.
Told you Vildor would be an important player.
Who?
Vildor. I told you he'd be an important player at the beginning of the year. He's my number 15 important player. I said he's got to be able to take the spot of Fuller.
Yeah.
If not, this defense is going to struggle. You've got your answer after 11 weeks. He's on the bench.
Yes. And Artie Burns is not much better. Josh Reynolds was released.
George Burns.
I mean, really, Josh Reynolds.
He was released weeks ago, and all of a sudden he's now burning Artie Burns.
On a double on move.
The double move's a tough move, Carm. Everybody wants to bite on the double move.
Well, that's why Artie Burns is no longer in Pittsburgh, by the way.
I guess so, yeah.
What was your reaction? Did you guys happen to catch the final call by Joe Buck of the field goal?
No, let's hear it.
In case I'll refresh your memory.
28-yard try by Santos to win it. Good snap, good hold, good kick, goodbye.
Yeah.
Win it, and the five-game losing streak is over for Chicago and Matt Nagy.
Yeah. My question to you, and I like Joe Buck. We've all talked about it. I think we all, maybe not Yurko as
Yurko
much,
does but, not,
but we
do.
Generally enjoy Joe Buck's presentation. I do think yesterday he and Troy pushed the line a bit too much towards the people on social media who were just, look, that's what we do on social media, right? You pan the bad Bears, the bad Lions, the fact that it's put on display nationally for everybody. But I think Joe Buck was playing to that audience, and so was Troy Aikman, a bit too much on Thanksgiving Day. Like, for the goodbye to be in the final call,
a poor taste.
Poor choice. He's the A crew with Troy Aikman. I'm okay with them.
You're kinda selling the product.
Exactly.
And I don't think it's pandering to the social media, though, Jeff. Like, I talked about it with Yurk on Wednesday. It's week 12. These two teams went into yesterday with three combined wins. And I even said on Wednesday, I think, what do you think Buck and Aikman are thinking? Like, are you kidding?
Well,
that again, we've got to go to Detroit, and now they're playing the 3-7
Bears?
Well,
they have covered a lot of Bears games. They have Nance and Romo. It almost seems too much for what the Bears actually
are. I don't think they're pandering to that. I think they knew that the game is awful, that these teams are awful, these franchises are awful. The Bears are awful. The Lions, they put up the graphic, haven't won a playoff game since, like, Yurko's rookie season.
Listen,
they haven't won a playoff game in
1990. Okay. I think they beat the Redskins.
You're right. Like, but then
I would be doing the same thing if I were calling that game.
I know, but listen, you're the play-by-play man, and you did it. You did it enough throughout the game. I think on the final call, just give me the call and get out of there. I think adding the goodbye was a bit much for me. And again, I'm not opposed to Joe. I generally like him.
I can't wait for the day Joe Buck says go goodbye, and it means he's never going to be on the air again.
That's
the day I wait for.
Juxtaposed in the post game, we've got Tom Rinaldi giving Andy Dalton the silver football.
The food will have to wait, but a centerpiece. This is now yours, the silver football that's given out to the player of the game on Thanksgiving. Lift it up, Andy.
For me Thank to poop you. On.
Appreciate it, guys.
You got it, Andy. Well done. Happy Thanksgiving.
Goodbye.
I mean, you can't have it both ways. If you're giving out a silver football, I need my play-by-play man to be professional.
They even took a shot at the silver football.
So,
Joe, when they were talking about the history of it, Joe's like, or maybe Troy or Joe said, this thing started because everybody was coming up with an award, so we had to come up with something. Like, it was a dumb turkey.
They had the original. John Madden was an entertainer. And you know what? Wow. He had a lot of Lions games where they were bad. And
they're
you know
bad.
What they did?
They entertained.
We all found it. We all know what a turducken is because John Madden
100%.
Was an entertainer 100%. Above all else.
That's
and
right.
You know what? On a bad Thanksgiving day, he made it about who's getting the turkey.
Right. And Pat Summerall. It's 3rd and 2.
thank God for
That's
that.
It.
Thank God for that chef in New Orleans who actually thought it might be
funny. Emeril Lagasse, yeah.
No, it wasn't Emeril. It was somebody else. It was some wherever they. You know what I was? They played yesterday, Connor. Like wherever that whole turducken thing started, it's some restaurant in New Orleans where they started breaking down the turkey, the chicken, and the duck, and they put it all together.
Yeah.
And they sent one to Madden like in the late 90s.
Yep. Chicken in the duck. All of it into turkey.
Yes. Correct. Yes. They sent one in, like, they like, hey, what if John gets a hold of this? And he was an entertainer. If he liked it, maybe he'd do something with it. Who knows? Who knew it would take off the way it did? But, like, it's a good thing that guy presented it to
Madden.
And
they started putting, like, four legs a piece on each side.
Six, eight legs.
Paul Prudhomme.
No, Paul Prudhomme.
It says that.
Paul Prudhomme says that.
Okay. I didn't think it was Paul Prudhomme. I didn't think it was anybody as famous.
Yeah. Emeril made them one year, but it was years later. Like, Emeril did a turn with the turkey legs.
Yeah, Paul wasn't feeling well.
I got ahead of myself because I know Emeril did the turkey for NBC last night.
Yeah.
When Michelle Tafoya was handing out the legs to Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, she was mentioning Emeril was the one who had cooked their turkey.
Good old
turducken.
All right, gents, I assume
a lot of Bears breakdown coming our way here.
Yeah, it'll be nonstop. I mean, we're not going to break down every play. We're going to just talk about what position this place puts them in. I mean, Carm is not a big believer in Matt Nagy. I don't think anybody is.
No, nobody is.
But I'm telling you, there's a scenario where you say this all gets salvaged, and it starts with Arizona at home, and this team hasn't been great at home.
I mean, the Bears have not been great at home.
The
Bears fired Lovey after a 10-6 season.
Hold on, Carm. Now, again, you're saying that, and everybody forgets the context of that
firing.
I'm with
you on this.
That was a 7-1 team.
Not that year. I don't think
that's right. Take a look.
The Texans came in on Sunday Night Football. They were
Are you sure that was the year? Take a look at it.
They were 7-1, but was that the same Jay year? Was that when he broke his thumb?
I thought it was a year where Jay got hurt.
I think those are different years.
Take a look.
I think those are different years.
7-1. Then they lost every important game that needed to happen. They were 8-6 at the time.
You're right about that.
8-6
And they won two meaningless games.
I can't believe you're presenting a scenario in which Matt Nagy could save his job.
Yes, I'm telling you, it's here.
Like, why would you want that?
Because of the grotesquely erroneous report that was received earlier this week.
All right.
That we all took hook, line, and sinker like an Asian carp into Cal Sag Channel. We bit down on it, kid.
All right, Yurko will have plenty more fishing metaphors, and he will lay out the case of how Matt Nagy actually returns at the end of the season with Carm coming up next. God. Connor, it was a pleasure to work with you, my friend.
Always.
We will be listening tomorrow on White Sox Weekly when we finally get that Kendall Graveman breakdown we've so desperately been longing for.
I need it.
Bears got in the way today, but I assume, right, Connor, there's got to be some Kendall Graveman talk tomorrow.
Oh, it's coming. It's one hot hour of Kendall Graveman conversation.
When's the Kimbrel trade happening?
Kendall what?
Kendall Graveman signed. When's the Kimbrel trade happening, Connor?
With who?
You're going to love him.
All right, so is that 9 or 10 tomorrow, Connor?
9 to 10.
There you go. 9 to 10. Connor McKnight's got White Sox Weekly. I will have the fantasy football show for you on Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Up next, it's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, it was a Bears win. It was still a pretty dreadful game. I mean, to barely escape with a win against the Lions. Half the Bears' wins are against Detroit. They're not firing Matt Nagy today. They might in a week. They might in two. They might at the end of the year. I still don't necessarily believe that the report was totally false, but I don't know. Who knows what's going on?
Carm, is he gone?
No, but
if he's not gone, it was erroneous.
I wouldn't put it past the Bears to not want to look silly and just say, well, we'll kick the can down the road a few weeks.
Didn't somebody do that to somebody where they broke a story? And then the press conference came. And they announced an extension instead of the firing.
I don't know.
That sounds familiar. I'm trying to remember what it was.
And he said, "Hey, how about that?
Did that really happen? For a sports team?
Yes, yes. I want to say here in the city of Chicago too.
Why don't I remember that?
We have talked about it. We had touched base on that type of thing before.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I just remember that. And despite the reporter that reported it. He said, why don't you go ahead and print that?
I wouldn't totally put it past the Bears.
I don't know if it was the Bears either. I'm saying in this scenario,
I wouldn't totally. I mean, there are some conspiracy theories out there right now.
Yeah.
Like Tyler Rocky's got a good one.
That's the one.
So here's what Jeff Fisher was fired 1 week after signing an extension.
When he was with the Rams,
yes.
That's awesome. So they basically gave him an extension because they don't want to look silly and then fired him a week later.
It seems crazy.
Like, could Matt Nagy get fired? I don't know. Maybe it was erroneous.
Could he get an extension?
He's not getting an extension.
Well, it's erroneous in the fact that he's still here. So it's wrong. Whether you like it or not, it is wrong. The report is wrong.
The best conspiracy theory I think I've heard so far is that the city is leaking stories to people to make the Bears look bad. Like that's
to make their value less?
That's awesome. I mean, like, that's...
Who's doing it?
Like, that's awesome.
Lori Lightfoot's doing
that? Lori Lightfoot's calling Mark Conkle being like, hey, I got a scoop.
Got an insight for you.
I mean, that would be just awesome.
That is far-fetched.
I don't know what to believe. I don't.
Carm, I'm painting a scenario of positivity for the Chicago Bears today.
Let me say, it surprises me a little. They won 16-14.
Along the foundation of this is not an exceptional football team. It's not an exceptional football team. But they've been in enough games this year where I could say, hey, they could be somewhat competitive. If they can find a way to get healthy. Is Khalil Mack on for the year?
Yes.
He's not going to make it. If they come into the playoffs, he's not going to make it. All right, that helps me. Akeem Hicks comes back on that defensive line.
Can Akeem still stay healthy and play week two?
I don't know.
Think?
I don't know if he can stay healthy, but I just need him back. I mean, at the end of the year, he's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Don't you believe that? I think he wants to come back and prove that he's healthy enough to be able to play. You don't want to go into an offseason unhealthy. If Akeem Hicks goes into the offseason unhealthy, now you got to prove. I think you go into that with a little bit of a cloud of injury on you. Mm-hmm. You don't cash in the way I think Akeem Hicks wants to cash in. That's all I'm saying. So I think he wants to come back in. I can get Allen Robinson back on the field with a hamstring, maybe to see some light at the end of the tunnel. Carm, you don't know what happens, man, when you start to believe. When that doubt kind of gets dissipated, and it might just be the one thing that needed to kickstart them. Remember what I said? They played well against Pittsburgh. They played well against Baltimore, right? Both of those teams are above 500.
I don't know that they played well against Baltimore.
They should have.
But again, he scored, what did they score? 13 points against Baltimore?
Played good enough to be in front. Played good enough to be in front. They should have capitalized. We'd be looking at this team differently if they were 6-5 instead of 4-7. But it is not over. 312-332-3776. For those that are positive about what the Bears got going, okay? It only takes what, Carm? A spark to get a fire going, right? This is the Bears spark with 10 games to prepare for Arizona. That's the spark. Yeah. 10 days to prepare for Arizona. And if you're a Bears fan, you sit there and you say, I can't be excited about this. I am.
I don't know how you could possibly be excited about what you saw yesterday.
Two big victories against two teams that are ahead of you in the next 2 weeks. All of a sudden, you find yourselves at 6-7. And guess what? The mojo starts to happen. And they start walking with a little bit of strut in their step. Maybe a couple of balls get tipped in the air and some interceptions start to happen. You got to believe you're better than you are sometimes. Mm. I do it every day when I wake up in the morning, Carm.
Yeah.
I'm much more handsome to myself than I actually am. Every time I look in the mirror, you know I see Brad Pitt and Clooney combined. Okay? I'm looking at George Pitt right here. Absolutely fantastic. I don't let the reality of my reflection get in my way. And you've got to do that as a Chicago Bears player and a Chicago Bears fan. I will exude positivity for the next week until what?
Until they play
Until they crap
Arizona?
The bed. Until they crap the bed in one of the next two games, and then reality will smack me in the face, and my joy and my happiness will be over.
I don't know what it's based on, though. You're basing it on what? I mean, you're basing it on let's just try to be positive.
I'm basing it on the fact of personal experience.
They're awful.
I'm basing it on the facts of personal experience, Carm. I played on a crappy football team that couldn't get out of its own way. I played on a defense that only gave up 10 points and found a way to lose the game because Mark Brunell, though he threw for 500 yards in the game, threw five interceptions in the game, one return for a touchdown. Found a way to lose 17-14 that specific day. And then all of a sudden we won one game. And then we started to build a little bit of momentum. And now Matt Nagy's got to sell him on this crap that I'm feeding you. All right? He's got to sell him on the crap I'm feeding you and convince him this is lobster.
Do you know?
And butter rolls.
Do you know?
And good stuff.
Do you know how many times this year the Bears have scored more than 24 points?
They have scored more than 24, maybe twice.
Try once.
Once, yeah. It's not a good offense.
Chicago Bears have scored more than 24 points, offense. Which, you know, 24th, we use that number because, like, it kind of puts you at league average.
Right.
24 points is, like, league average, basically.
Right.
You'd be 16th, 17th in the NFL in scoring.
You know
scoring.
Who scored a touchdown they've against scored, the Buffalo Bills?
They've scored more than 24 points once this year.
In January of 97, do you know who scored a touchdown for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
January of 97.
Against the Buffalo Bills.
The playoff game?
The playoff game. Dare I say it was Clyde Simmons? Screen, interception, return for a touchdown.
I don't remember that.
Clyde Simmons,
I remember that. That's good.
That's how we got to 30,
That's
Carm.
How you got to 30?
We found a way. We chipped away.
That's
we
good.
Got it done.
That's good.
That created a fumble, created some opportunities. Tony Boselli was created that day when he stopped Bruce Smith's assault on the quarterback.
That's pretty good.
Good things start to happen. Boselli grew up and became a man. Tony Boselli's little guys dropped and he became a man that day.
That was the day, huh?
That's how it happens.
They hadn't dropped yet?
No, he'd go into the shower. It was awkward looking at the man. But after that Buffalo game, suddenly they appeared. They were.
I don't know where you get this stuff sometimes.
I'm telling you.
I can't believe anybody could find possibly be excited that the Bears won 16-14.
Because there's a chance.
In Detroit yesterday.
We won five straight games, Carm. Look at what we won by. 3 points, 2 points, 1 point. We won at the end when Lagerman forced a fumble. And in overtime, the little Mikey Hollis kicked the field goal at Metropolitan Stadium in Baltimore that hadn't been used in 20 years. We found a way, Carmen, is what I'm trying to tell you.
I walked away yesterday completely embarrassed as a Bears fan. Like, and I don't know how you could be anything else.
Well,
I really don't. I don't know how you can walk away from that and not be anything but completely ashamed and embarrassed to be a Chicago Bears fan.
I wasn't strutting up and down Michigan Avenue
this
declaring
entire week
a Super Bowl championship. What I'm saying is,
it sounds like you are.
No. They're on the fall. They have stopped the fall right now. They're hanging with a hand on the edge of the cliff trying to get the second hand up, and they're trying to climb out of it, is what I'm trying to tell you.
This entire week has been an embarrassment. It is perfectly reflective of what this organization actually is.
It has been embarrassing.
They are
mismanaged.
Jumbled mess.
Yes.
That's the Chicago Bears.
I agree.
I refuse to be excited about a mismanaged, jumbled mess that barely got out of Detroit against a winless team with a victory.
Maybe that's just because I'm more positive.
I guess so.
Maybe it's because I've got a positive frame of mind. Maybe that's the way I live my life.
But it's not
picking
based
up garbage
in any
on
reality.
The streets.
It's not based in any reality. The reality is the Bears are awful.
The reality is they are a terrible, terrible, terrible football team and a terrible, terrible organization.
Exactly.
But that does not stop me from seeing the positivity in this situation.
Are you with Yurko? Can you find any glimmer of hope?
Arizona, we went against Arizona, boys. The march is on its way. I'm telling you. In Green Bay.
Ho-ho! Sunday night.
Give me tickets for that bad boy.
You've got tickets. 312-332-3776.
I'm ready, Carm. I'm excited.
Can anybody share in Yurko's joy? It is Thanksgiving. I'll give him that. That's why you want to be happy, maybe. It's
great
Thanksgiving
meal.
Weekend.
Great meal yesterday.
Oh, yes, it was delicious. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hope everyone had a nice Thanksgiving, a nice long holiday weekend. Doing some shopping today. Maybe hitting the Kris Kringle Market. Maybe going ice skating. Shows. All kinds of fun stuff. Yurko and I are with you for next couple of hours. Greeny at noon. Waddle and Sylvie after that. I think Buck and Abdallah doing the show today for the boys, correct? And then Odds Couple will be on right after the guys tonight, 6 to 7. Be up a little bit later this afternoon on the ESPN Chicago app. And Mike North will join us at 11:45 for the bonus play. Plus, Todd Furman will give us the best plays for the weekend, as he always does on Friday at 11:30. We can grab some phone calls. All three road teams won yesterday. The road teams continue to do very well. Outright winners. Dogs continue to do very, very well. The Vegas Raiders win outright as an underdog. The Saints could not cover at home as an underdog. Depending on where you had the Bears line, you had a good middle spot for yesterday, actually. You had everywhere from 3.5 to about 1.5 to the close. So some people had a nice middle opportunity there for Bears and Lions. So depending on where you had the Bears line, you might have covered that one. You might have pushed. You might have lost it. But Vegas went outright as a dog on the road. So the road teams continue to do well.
I just tweeted it out, Carm, my positivity and how the Bears can find a way to get it done.
You're good enough. You're smart enough.
And I went and I put it out there. We lost to Pittsburgh 28-3. Came back the next week. We beat Baltimore by 3. Cincy by 3. Houston by 6. We beat Seattle by 7 and the Falcons by 2 points.
Wow. Nothing more than a touchdown,
huh? Nothing more. Wasn't crazy. We weren't blowing teams out of the water. What were we doing, kid? All you got to do is win, 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 no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's where they find themselves in. Win and you're in. That's the philosophy you got to take now.
If the Bears win out and they make the playoffs, they won't. But, I mean, boy, Nagy's going to keep his job?
Positive. I'm positive.
Would you want Nagy positive. Being the coach of this team next year?
I wanted Nagy fired today, but he's not. The report was erroneous.
Would you want him to be the coach next year?
If he wins out, he's going to be coach next year.
Would you want him to be the coach?
I don't want him to be anywhere near the Chicago Bears.
I don't either.
Or Ryan Pace either. I don't want either one of them.
I'm with you. I don't want him. I can't do it. I can't do another year with it.
But he's going to stay. If they win out, he's going to stay. Oh. Now, again, what I'm talking about is probably got a 1% feasibility rate now.
I would agree with you.
1% feasibility. Yeah. But, Carm, what a story that would be. Huh? What a Christmas would be.
So, 1 in a million, you're saying there's a chance.
There's a shot, Carm. There's a shot.
Let's go to Big C in the city. Yeah, Big C,
Big
what
C?
Up?
Big C!
Yeah, what's going on, good kid?
I'm positive, brother.
What's going on, Carmen?
What up, man?
Man, what's up with all these haters, man?
Haters gonna hate. That's what they do.
I'm with two good kids, man.
That's
I see us going 6-0. I said we come from the bye week. I thought it was gonna be something like 7-1. We're gonna go 6-0 from the way.
There we go.
The way.
6-0.
Carmen, why you look like a sourpuss on Twitch, man? What's going on?
I don't know. Do I look like sourpuss? Really? I don't know. I'm laughing my ass off.
Why are you so angry, Carmen?
I'm laughing my ass off in here. What do you mean?
Hey, no, you laughing that, but when you first came on, you didn't look too good. But check this out. Y'all want to downplay the Lions, but y'all ain't been watching hearing about the Lions football. They've been losing by close games all year against good team.
Pittsburgh, they lost close game. Yeah, they've lost some really close games too.
The Lions are off.
They're bad though. They're bad, and they're going to get a first pick this year, Carm. They're going to get the top pick in the draft this year.
Are we really going to do this? The Lions aren't so bad.
Who's your number one quarterback? No, they're bad. Who's your number one quarterback?
Matt Corral. Who is the number one quarterback?
Number one quarterback.
Him
coming
or Kenny
out of the draft.
Pickett.
Who is
him or Kenny Pickett?
Probably Matt Corral. I would think. I don't think they're. It's a great quarterback class.
Well, no quarterback class has really been great. You know,
Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes.
Well, the one with Patrick Mahomes. The one with Patrick Mahomes. He was great.
Yeah.
Now we've got us. You know, he's been sidelined. Deshaun Watson. He played like he was going to be a great quarterback.
I think this one's going to. I think this one down the line will be pretty good.
Well, if 3 of 5 make it, then it's good as 99.
Right.
If 3 and 5 don't make it, if you only get two that hit.
Can you see?
And it's the fifth one that hits in the first 4-0.
Can you see Mac, Justin, and Trevor Lawrence all hitting?
Right now I could see Mac and Trevor Lawrence hitting.
Not Justin.
I'm waiting for Justin. Oh boy, yeah, but he's got time, Carm. You got 3 years for Justin Fields.
Yeah.
3 years before you have to make it.
If 3 of the 5 hit, I'll be pretty good. Cordell's on the south side. What up, man?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
What's happening?
Okay, I want to talk about what nobody's even bringing up. I've yet to hear it in anywhere. I believe we've seen the most egregious thing in football. How do you not go for it and you have the field goal in your back pocket and you take three straight knees he didn't even attempt it. I felt like that was a gutless move. And Yurko, from a player, how do you look at that?
All right, Cordell. I don't think that's the Lions burned through their timeouts, I think that was the smart play.
Earlier in the season, what happened when a team had moved down the field the whole way, they threw the ball and it was a miracle interception. Happened maybe 4 weeks ago.
I don't know.
4 weeks ago. I want to say it was against Green Bay. They went and threw a ball into the flat. Looks like it was going to be a touchdown. And it turned out to be a miracle interception in the right sideline from the 3-yard line. Now, I don't know if a field goal was just going to do it for that team and that's all that they needed, or a field goal was going to tie, but they went for the touchdown and it was intercepted. It was a miracle victory. It was. It looked like it was going sideways. And I can't pull the game now, but people on Twitter and everybody
Did you think the Bears did something foolish there by not taking it once? Detroit went through its timeout.
Yeah, you wanted that to be the last play. Yeah. I thought they'd take it to 3 seconds. They took it to 1 second. Either way, they kicked the field goal. I don't mind. What you're doing there with the Bears, who have just lost 5 in a row, is you're just trying to find a way to get it.
Yeah, he needed a win.
All I need is a win. I don't need nothing more than a win.
Your best bet was 3 kneel downs and a 28-yard field goal.
Cairo Santos, who can't make a 66-yarder. Okay? We've realized that over the course of time.
He can't make a 53-yarder inside.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got him kicking 65-yarders in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Not enough was made out of that. Yurko and I made a big deal out of it. I feel like not enough people.
Yeah.
I mean, if like when it's all said and done and Nagy is gone, one of the big things we're going to talk about, one of the biggest boneheaded coaching decisions you will ever see in your life, is a coach lining up for a 65-yard field goal in Heinz Field. There's never been a 60-yard field goal made in Heinz Field ever?
Yes, ever.
That's the biggest boneheaded play. That's the biggest boneheaded thing you could do.
We said it the first time. 66 yards. Are you in Denver or Mexico City? Where are you at?
Right.
Because you need to be high above sea level for Cairo Santos to be able to make a 66-yarder.
He could make a 53-yarder indoors.
Indoors.
And you've got him trying a 65-yarder instead of throwing a Hail Mary or a trick play or a hook and ladder. I mean, anything. When you know a 65-yarder cannot happen in Heinz Field.
It won't happen.
From Cairo Santos, my God.
My heavens.
All right, we'll take more of your phone calls coming up next.
This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hey, Carmen, quick update for you.
Yep.
Yeah. At half right now.
At the half. Talking basketball?
Yes. Deerfield Warriors B team, freshman team.
Yep.
Up 36-6.
Whoa.
36-6.
Who are they playing? Are they playing a junior
Chaminade.
Chaminade? Yeah. They playing Chaminade?
What are we taking? High school scores, though?
High school. Brett's playing the game.
Brett's
playing.
Oh, okay. Brett's
playing. They got a 36-6
lead? 36-6
lead. Are they playing high school?
Does Gio got a game?
Or junior high? No, Gio does not.
This is freshman. Freshman.
Freshman B team.
Freshman B team.
Yeah. By the way,
I'm saying who they playing. I'm making a joke. It's 36-6. Are they playing a sixth grade team?
We don't know.
You said you're right.
Right, we don't know. Listen, I played on the freshman B team. And three other guys that ended up starting on the varsity played on the freshman B team. So every blue moon, you're a little bit of a late developer. Doesn't make a difference. The freshman B team produces players.
Good. Well, what they do now is they take, top seven usually goes on A, then the next seven go on B, and then they just kind of scatter the rest.
I like that.
That's the best way to do it.
I bet you were really tough to guard down low.
6'1.5" on the block.
It was a short, strong base.
I had a myriad of moves. Myriad of moves, man. My up and under was dangerous.
Oh, God.
Up and under. I had a left hand. I was amphibious.
Is this like your tennis, or is this more real?
No, but listen, Carm.
His tennis.
I can't do it now.
No, right, yeah.
I can't do it now. But I'm 54, then, Carm.
I know you are.
Okay?
And your can't shoulders do it now. Are shot.
I'm in pain. I can't even lift my arms above my head.
Poor guy.
I'm in pain. I got to use one arm to put the other to get the salt off the top, the kosher salt.
That sucks. Mark's in the city on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mark?
Winning we're in, Marky. Winning we're in.
Winning we're in.
Marky.
Hey.
Yo. Hey, guys, I've been up since 5 a.m. this morning, and the best thing of my day is I turned the station on about a half hour ago to listen to Yurko spew this stuff. It's awesome.
That's right.
Listen, I've hated on Nagy for almost 2 years now, but what I saw go on last week with all the negativity in the press and then the chanting going on I heard about at the different stadiums and venues, my heart went out to the guy. And I was really pulling for him yesterday, especially being a holiday. And the other thing is, I'm just so tired of being negative, and it's the holidays, for crying out
loud.
That's
right.
Let's be merry.
It's the holidays.
Let's be positive. Let's give hope.
That's right.
Hey, in 2 weeks, we may be back in the dumps again, but at least for a couple of weeks, we got hope, baby. Yeah.
That's right. Winning, we're in, Mark.
I appreciate that you feel, from a human side, that you feel for the guy too, Mark. I know what you mean, but you don't want him to be the coach next year, do you?
No. I don't have faith in, but I'm worried about the next 3 months.
There you go. Gotcha. All right, Marky. Way to spread holiday cheer, man.
We're part of the Human League.
Part of the Human Fund. I like it. All right, Mark. Thanks, buddy. Matt's in Streamwood. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Carmen. Hey, Yurko.
What's up, Eddie?
Thanksgiving. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Delicious. Sir.
Yurko, the thing that Matt Nagy needs to remember is that Dan Campbell has given him both those games this year. That first game when they were down 10, at 4th and 2, they went instead of going for the field goal, they tried to go for the touchdown. Even though they're down 2 scores, they needed either a field goal or a touchdown. And then this game yesterday, same thing too. And late in the 4th quarter, he decided to call that second timeout and extend the Bears' drive. Brutal. So, once again, that's the only coach that Matt Nagy can outcoach.
Yes. Yeah, I think you might be right, Matt. He is able to outcoach Dan Campbell. I mean, Dan Campbell, and I know they play hard. That's only going to take you so far. I mean, he's calling plays right now. He shouldn't be calling plays. I mean,
he's 7-1,
That was embarrassing.
Against the Detroit Lions, he's 7-1.
Matt Nagy is 7-1, I believe. I think that's correct against the Lions. Dan Campbell shouldn't be calling plays. That was embarrassing. I mean, you're calling... You're at midfield. You're like, Naikman made the point. You're not even trying to pick up some yardage, maybe put yourself in field goal range. You're just basically hoping to punt the ball from midfield. Like, nobody wants to punt from midfield.
And, no.
I mean, like, that was an embarrassment. They're throwing, I tweeted, they're trying to set a record for most passes thrown behind the line of scrimmage in a single game. Like, they're embarrassingly bad. I mean, and yeah, maybe they play hard for him. That's going to run out. Like, he can't be calling plays anymore. Like, that was awful yesterday.
Their theory is they're building on both sides of the line. And, you know, the holding calls, they had 3rd and 32 twice in that game. Twice in that game. And they could have called 3 guys for holding on that on one of those running plays.
I mean,
the center, 63, when they called it on 68, we had a worse holding call than 68
I think
did.
You're right.
But 68 was at the point of attack. They're trying to build on the offensive and defensive lines. They're doing it the right way, Carm.
Well, they drafted Penei Sewell, so that's true.
They're doing it the right way.
This was Dan Campbell on the timeout at the end. I mean, it really was so Lions. I mean, they're just awful. Here's Dan Campbell.
It was a check by what they were doing. And so you don't get it until it's in the middle of the play, but it's something we had talked about. And so you don't get it pre-snap. It's a call, and it's got basically a check on it to what they're going to do and what they line up in offensively. Is what happened. And so we had half in one call, half in another. And so the first thing in my head is, well, we got a blown coverage and they're about to score a touchdown. So I do it, and which you can't do. And now it's penalty, but I know that he threw it out in the flat. That was about to be a touchdown. So, can't do it.
I mean, it's bad enough. You're calling a timeout with the clock stopped. The other team's going in, and you're like, you're calling timeouts with the clock stopped, and you can't even do it. And I know
you saw the confusion that was all over.
I know.
The confusion was in the booth, too, though. They have 12 men on the field. No, they weren't in their proper coverage.
It's unbelievable. And the refs are supposed to ignore that.
For one reason or another, I always thought the hand over the head meant clout. So they wanted him in clout, whatever that was, 3, 2, 3, 4, whatever. They wanted him in clout. That was the signal for hand over the head. So maybe that's what they wanted him in. They weren't in it, and you saw the guy in the flat running scot-free.
Yeah, so that's what he was talking about, too. You're right about that, And here's Campbell talking about the mistakes killing them.
Guys fought their ass off today, man. Defense, once again, stepped up and, you know, held those guys to got them out of the end zone, really. You know, they did. And that's back-to-back games, back-to-back-to-back games where our defense has really stepped up, getting turnovers. So I was proud. I was proud of the way they all played today. I thought they played hard, you know, but the mistakes killed us, particularly offensively.
Yeah, playing hard, though, is only going to get you so far. I mean, play calling, just an embarrassment for the Lions. They're just so bad. I mean, you know, the coaches can't get on the same page, the penalties. They should have. I mean, Andy Dalton should have thrown 2 picks in the end zone. I mean, one, you know, only threw one, but should have been 2. But that's just, you know, you hang around and you do just enough to beat a bad team. Half their wins are against the Lions. I can't get too excited about that. But, okay, Bears are 4-7, and now they have extra time to prepare for Arizona. Arizona's going to have extra time. Arizona's coming off bye. They're on bye this weekend.
Nothing wrong with that.
They got a lot of time to prepare.
Well, they got to digest what was that Detroit-Chicago game.
They're looking at that tape today, Eric?
I don't know how much information they'll glean off that, but you know what? I don't care.
Cliff Kingsbury's looking at that going, oh, my God.
What in the H is going on here?
Well, Bears
are
open up as a 7-point dog next week.
That's
312-332-3776. Let's grab some more calls coming up. It's Bears Friday, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. We will talk to Todd Furman in about 30 minutes. We're getting you ready for another loaded weekend of NFL and college. It's rivalry weekend, York and college football. We should spend a little time on OSU and Michigan, since that's the big one.
That is the big one.
Parts tomorrow.
If OSU gets booted, they stay. right? And Michigan climbs into the top four, don't you think?
Yeah, Michigan will climb in. Yeah, for sure. Michigan's fifth right now. They win. Yes, they're going to climb in.
And Ohio State doesn't fall out, or do they? Does Ohio State fall out?
I would think they would, because then they're a two-loss team.
All right, then they're gone.
Ohio State's done if they lose.
Yeah, I would think so. The two-loss team, like we talked about this the other day a little bit, I don't think a two-loss team's going to get in. I don't think it's ever happened, and I don't think they will. But we should spend some time on that game, but we want to hear from Bears fans. What do you think about this week now that it's all said and done? Still pretty embarrassing, even though they won. 312-332-3776. We'll be back in 2 minutes.